Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Oh, hallelujah. That's how you worship the Lord for 77 baptized tonight. Amen. And he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. If you would stand with me as we reverence the reading of his word. Can we just give a shout out to let Pastor Jeremiah Woods know how much we love him and glad he's home tonight? Amen. Matthew chapter number 6, Matthew 6. We've never seen 77 baptized in 1 month and in 1 night. So that was a glorious moment right there. And I just kept breaking down, just thinking about how what the enemy means for evil, God turns for good. Amen. And last week, power went out because of some kind of fire situation down the street. And we had 40 ready to be baptized here last Wednesday. And power went out, had to cancel Shreveport campus. And 1 week later, 77. Come on, double for our trouble. Amen. Man, God is good. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be highlighting verse 33. And we'll probably spend a couple of weeks on this. In order to do verse 33 justice, we're obviously going to be backing up in that chapter. But for the sake of our reading and prayer, let's go to verse number 33, and then I'll pray, and you can be seated. Matthew 6, 33. If you're there, just say amen. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All right, Shreveport and Bossier, let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for 77. And we saw baptized this evening. We just give you praise that your word does not return unto you void. And from the youngest to the oldest, we just thank you, Father, for those that weren't ashamed of the gospel and followed you, Jesus, in baptism. And I just ask your blessing to be on their lives, Lord, that you would just use each one of them for your glory in the name of Jesus, Father. As we open your word tonight, we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit and ask right now that by your Holy Spirit, we would receive revelation knowledge, that you would give us wisdom, spiritual understanding, and a conviction of truth. We ask you for words of hope, words of faith, and words of salvation. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me what you would have spoken, that your Holy Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I could write on the hearts and minds of these your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever, as we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet two or three people around you and take your seats. Amen. Well, if you would, look at your neighbor and say, let's get in the Word. Over the last few weeks or months or so, we've been pulling scripture out just to break down and study, and one that I've been praying about and looking into is Matthew 6:33. I mean, it's a popular verse, but I feel like we need to really understand the heart of it. This word in Matthew 6:33 comes right at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Every believer in Jesus, every follower of the way, should make it a discipline to read the Sermon on the Mount. It starts in Matthew chapter 5, it goes through chapter 6, and all the way through chapter 7, and closes at the end of the 7th chapter. But I think it's a good reminder from the Word of God of the way that we're supposed to live. And so before the prayer, we read from verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added
unto you. If you're one that writes in your Bibles or you highlight anything, if you would emphasize that word first, because that's what we'll be dealing with for a couple of weeks, seeking first the kingdom of God. Why? Because whatever comes first in your life tends to control everything else. Whatever comes first in your life controls everything else. My children know this because if we drive down the road going out to eat or something, and it seems like we're going in one direction, all that's got to happen is mama say she wants one thing, and then daddy takes the wheel and we go that way. So because she's number one. Whatever comes number one, whatever is number one, whatever you make number one tends to control everything else. And there's no other place that God will take in our lives but that first place. And we're going to talk about the blessing that comes when we put the Lord first. But in order to really appreciate this verse, I want to back up and see it in its context. And I feel like in context, it's something that every one of us need to be reminded of, and it'll impact each one of us. And that is worry and anxiety and fear, specifically about tomorrow. As a matter of fact, if you go just past verse 33 and verse 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow or tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So he's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to bring you things you didn't know tomorrow would bring. You just need to focus on today and the things that today has brought you, because nobody knows what tomorrow will hold. So in context, this statement, seek first the kingdom, is dealing with taking thoughts and worry. And so I just want to show you a few things throughout chapter number 6 where Jesus is addressing our thought life. So if you would, back up to verse number 25, and you'll see what I'm saying. Look in verse 25. And if you're one that writes in your Bibles, there's something here I'm going to have you to underline, all right? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. What is he saying? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. Take no thought for your life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Or your body, or what you're going to put on. And then he goes on, and he makes the same statement again in verse number 28. Well, he deals with it in verse 27, 28, but we'll look into verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought. And now he adds something to it. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, when you back up to verse 25, and then you look at verse 25, then you drop down and you look at verse 31, I'm hoping something's going to come to life. So let's go back and revisit that, all right? Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, for your body, what you shall put on, your clothing. Go to verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? So the thoughts of verse 25 are the same thoughts of verse 31, except in verse 31, he lets us in on how not to take a thought. Look at the beginning of verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Let's read that part out loud, Shreveport. Bose, you ready? Read. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. So he's saying, don't accept thoughts and worries and fears and anxieties about your life. But yet, we're guilty of it. I believe most of us, if we're honest, are guilty of taking thought and having fears and worries and concerns about life. But he's saying here, don't take those thoughts. Don't accept those thoughts. But how do I not take these thoughts? I mean, when the thoughts come, what do I do with those thoughts? Jesus is going to teach us in verse 31 how you actually receive a thought. How you receive a thought. And so notice in verse number 31 what comes right behind the comma. Read the comma and read what comes behind the comma. Ready? Read. Therefore, take no thought, saying. Stop right there. Let's do that again, Shreveport Bossier. Therefore, take no thought saying. And then the things that they were saying in verse 31 is the same things he said in verse 25, not to be worrying about. Don't take a thought saying, what are we going to eat? What will we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't speak your worry. Don't speak your fears. Don't give a voice to thoughts of fear and negativity. This is not James McManus talking. I'm reading straight from the words of Jesus, where he's telling us how to deal with life. And he's saying, hey, thoughts about what you're going to eat and drink and clothing and raiment, all those thoughts are going to come, but take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, he goes on to say in verse 32, after all these things, do the Gentiles, or lost nations that have no relationship with God, they seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things, and then he tells us to seek first what? The kingdom of God. So that's what we're going to be dealing with, is how to seek first the kingdom of God. But I feel like we need to spend some time with this whole thought life stuff, because if we look at it in context, that's what Jesus is dealing with, is the thoughts that we embrace, the thoughts that we take. Did you know that God designed us to think before we speak? Come on now, say amen to that. God has called us to think before we speak. And that's a wonderful thing, especially if you're married. If you would think about what you were getting ready to say before you actually said it. We've been given the honor on a local telecast here in Shreveport that's going to start next month, where we're going to get a two-minute segment every day in some type of format. And I've been given the honor every Monday to speak a two-minute word of the week. And so when that kicks off in September, the word of the week that the Lord has given me is going, and Chief, where are you? Isn't it on KSLA, KSLA Channel 12? And the word of the week that the Lord has put on my heart for next month is what we're saying specifically to people. What are we communicating? What are we saying? Take no thought saying. We cannot say everything we think, yet there are people that brag about saying everything they think. You hear folks say, one thing you know about me, I say what's on my mind. You didn't have to tell me that. I already figured that out about you. That's why relationships are not working in your life. That's why you can't hold a job. And that's why I don't even want to be in the room with you right now. You talk too much. You say too much of what you think. I wasn't talking about nobody in here. Somebody you know down the street, all right? But we should not boast in saying everything we think. God has called us to be able to capture a thought in the mind before we speak it. God didn't design us to speak first and think second. He designed us to think first and then to speak. Listen to this verse of scripture. James chapter 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or anger. If you didn't catch that, that's James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. I need to be quick about listening, swift to hear, swift to hear. Then he said, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. Are slow to anger, being slow to speak, capturing thoughts in my mind before they damage relationships or before I release them out of my mouth. Do you know Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you would, put a bookmark here in Matthew 6 and come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. When you look at the walk of faith, when you look at the life of faith that we've been called to live, the life of faith, the order that God has established for faith and living by faith in his word, you cannot ignore the reality of the meditation of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds, and the words we speak. There is a relationship, an inseparable relationship between the heart, the mind, and the mouth. And God takes into account what we say. And what we say has an impact on our life. When Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue, it then says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, which means if you love to talk, if you love to speak, be ready to eat the fruit of what you say. Your words will come back to you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? So the beauty of the way God has designed us is that we can capture the wrong thoughts in our minds and deal with them there. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. So God, not only is do I need my words to be acceptable, but the very thoughts that are on my mind to be acceptable. And we've got to learn how to do spiritual warfare and how to recognize that the arena of faith is in the mind. And when we start allowing the worry and the fears of our mind to control our mouth, we are regressing in the fight. We are losing the fight. Let me show what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Tell your neighbor, think before you speak. So we'll look at it in 2 Corinthians 10. If you're there, just say amen. And we'll drop down to verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's not our real fight. Though we walk in the flesh, our warfare is actually not in the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means fleshy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, what are strongholds? And what's God saying here about this weapon of our warfare, pulling down these strongholds? Well, he begins to elaborate in verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Read the rest with me, Shreveport-Bossier, that verse. And bringing into captivity every thought. Wait a minute, let's read that part again. And bringing into captivity every thought. So I'm not supposed to just let my thought life run wild. I'm not supposed to let my thoughts just have their way. No, he says, I need to bring into captivity every thought. I can't just let my thought life have its own way. And you know how real that is, especially if you've had a sleepless night and you just wish you could shut the thing off. You know, if I could just turn my mind off, I might sleep tonight. But then somebody else would have to turn it back on. And you can't trust everybody. But you think, man, how can I just stop all this stinking thinking and this negativity? And I want to show you how to do it. So he says, bringing into captivity, verse 5, every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do I do that? Well, it starts with having the knowledge of God. Because if a thought comes in my mind and I don't know the truth, and I don't know the promise of God, if I have no hope in the Word of God, then every thought comes into my mind with no restraint. There's no limitation to where my mind can go because I don't have any margins. I don't have any borders. There's no perimeters set up on what I will allow in my mind. We can't let every thought just have its way in our minds. That's a dangerous way to live, letting your thoughts just run wild. And so God is saying here that when you have an image, when you have a thought, when you are seeing something, and what you are seeing and what you're thinking and what you're imagining is going against the knowledge of God, then that particular thought has to be rejected. I can't accept, I can't embrace that fear, that worry, that anxiety, that thought, that lust, that sin. Hey, you know we're talking about that too, right? I can't let those thoughts just have their way. And so God is saying a way that you capture them is when they're in the mind and they rise up against the knowledge of God, you cast those thoughts down. But what have we done if we're honest? We've confessed those thoughts. We thought it and we said it. We thought it and we said it. And we ignored what Jesus taught us in Matthew 6 when he said, these thoughts are going to come, but don't take that thought by saying it. Don't take the thought by saying it. It's like somebody's delivering a package, and you're like, man, do I want this package? And they say, yes, sign here. And you're like, I really don't want this package. They say, sign here, sir. I'm like, I didn't order this. Sign here, sir. I didn't even address to me. Sign here, sir. That's not my name. Sign here, sir. No, thank you. I'm not signing here. That's not mine. That's the way we've got to start receiving fear and all these thoughts of the enemy. To say, wait a minute, that's not mine, doesn't have my name on it, wasn't sent by my God, that's not my address. We've got to stop signing for every stinking thought that comes into our mind. Now you say, well, how do I sign for the thought? When you speak it. Well, where did you get that? I read it to you. Jesus said, take no thought saying. Anybody here married, anybody here that's had or been in a relationship, you know good and well, you can't say everything you think. I mean, you can, but that might be why you're at church alone tonight. I mean, I'm just here to tell you that you will never get away in a healthy relationship just saying whatever comes to your mind. You might have done that early in the marriage, but it won't work. I'm here to tell you right now, this is marriage counseling 101. Think before you speak. I'm so glad that I have a chance to think about what I'm going to say before I say it, because if I can think it out before I say it, I might save myself from a lot of trouble. The Bible says, he who keeps his tongue saves his soul from trouble. He who keeps his tongue will save his soul from trouble. And so there's a way for you and I to save our soul from trouble, and that's by keeping my tongue, keeping my mouth. Put the word says that if I think evil, to put my hand upon my mouth. Even if I think evil, I'm to put my hand upon my mouth. God's saying, don't line your mouth up with your mind when your mind is not right. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Well, we need a solution, amen? So let's look at some solutions. Go with me to Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Psalms 50. Let's go over there for a minute. This helping anybody? And Lord willing, in the next part, we'll talk about seeking first the kingdom, because Jesus is saying that is your answer. And in essence, that's really what we're talking about right now is okay, the world confesses fears. The world lives in anxiety and in constant panic, and the world lives by lust and desires to go after everything that it sees, and there's no restraint on the mind or the mouth. That's worldly living. Kingdom living is different, and that's what I want to show you in Psalms 50. And so one of the ways that we can put God first and seek first the kingdom of God is by what we think and by what we say, by the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth. If there's nothing else that believers, you as believers, if you're a believer in Jesus, if there's nothing else that you've gained from what we do here at Word of God and the time we spend in God's Word, I hope it's changed the way you talk. I hope it changes the way we talk. Amen. Listen, you can say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad you love the Lord. But James 3 says, how can you bless the Father above with your mouth and with that same mouth curse men? Now, we can look at that as somebody using foul language towards somebody. So, well, you can't bless God at church and walk out the door and cuss somebody for driving slow in the left lane. But it's not necessarily foul language, even though the Bible says no corrupt communication should be coming out of our mouth. But what we need to recognize is, how can I magnify God and then curse my life? Oh, Lord, you're able. You're able. God is able. God is able. And then one thing goes wrong. You're like, oh, it's over. It's over. Why are you blessing God and cursing your life? Why do you bless him, but then you curse yourself? See, David got in that dilemma in Psalms 103. And I know I told you to go to Psalms 50, stay there. But in Psalms 103, David had to tell himself to bless the Lord. And what I want to show you here in Psalms 50 goes right in line with what David did in Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he said this, and forget not all his benefits. That's Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He said it again. Then he said, and forget not all his benefits. So what was David saying in Psalm 103? He was saying, if you're not blessing the Lord with your mouth, it's because you have forgotten in your mind his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all his benefits. So what is happening in my mind has a direct effect on what's coming out of my mouth. Amen. So if we say, I've given the Lord my life and I've given the Lord my heart, then we should be seeing that in your mouth. Jesus in Matthew 12, 35 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. There's this relationship between the heart and the mouth where what is received in the heart ends up coming out the mouth. Watch this in Psalms 50 when you get there, say amen. Verse 23. Whoso offereth praise, and praise is something we offer. We offered praise in this service today. Whoso offereth praise, and it is an offering. Nobody makes you do it. It's an offering. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Let's read that out loud. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So if somebody offers praise to God and they sing or lift their hands and celebrate Jesus, that's an offering. Lord, I offer you my praise. And he said, that glorifies me. That's a good word. But watch the remainder of this verse. And to him that ordereth his conversation right. Watch this. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright. What do you mean, order my conversation right? I don't just say anything. There's an order to my conversation. There's an order to what I'm talking about. There's a discipline. You can't have order without discipline. There's a discipline in my conversation. There's a discipline in what I say. Watch what he says. To him that ordereth his conversation right, read the rest, will I show the salvation of God. God said, when you get your mouth right, I'll show you my salvation. Take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. So Jesus is saying here, when you get your conversation right, you'll begin to see my salvation. But sadly, we don't allow the word to bring any conviction. And we're not allowing the word to change, in many cases, our conversation. And we're speaking negativity and fear and doubt and death. And then when it happens, we say, didn't I tell you? Well, didn't I tell you that you would have what you say? So. You know, and I got a couple more things I want to show you. And I know it's getting to that point where folks get nervous. Take no thought saying, all right? Just give me a few minutes, all right? Go with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke 17. And I want to see something that Jesus said here that was kicked off by a request in verse 5. Luke 17, verse number 5. When you get there, say amen. Listen, I feel like I'm talking to somebody. You've been hearing this, but you've not been taking this serious. It's time we start taking serious what we say. If God says in his word, death and life are in the power of the tongue, then death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Oh, I hear that sermon. It don't really matter. I can say what I want to say. God knows what's in my heart.
Yeah, God knows what's in your heart. And he told you that if you confess that, you're going to have what you say. And when our mouths and our minds are messed up, our life gets messed up. And a lot of stuff that we deal with in relationships and in life, we deal with because there was no discipline in our heart and no discipline in our mouth, and it was like a domino effect. And in some cases, if you can't find what to say, just don't say nothing. The Bible says a righteous man studies to answer. I need to think about this before I give you an answer. Don't be so quick to give something. So watch this in Luke 17, verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now I want to show you something here, and I want to read one thing about faith, and then we'll be done, all right? And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, that's a good request. And the Lord said, not James McManus said, the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, if you had faith like seed, you might say under this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, read the rest, and it should obey you. He's saying that if you had faith and you treated faith like you would seed, then you could speak to that thing, you sicker. You could speak to that situation and you could watch it change. By the very words of your mouth. I didn't say that. Jesus did. And with that in mind, I want to close in Romans 10. So go over there with me to Romans 10. And let's just look at the order that God has established to faith in Romans 10. Now, we're going to get, Lord willing, to Matthew 6:33. But the context of seeking first the kingdom, the context was lives filled with worry. Lives filled with fear and anxiety about something they have no way of knowing is coming, and that's what's going to come on tomorrow. And in the midst of worrying about what am I going to eat, what am I going to drink, what am I going to wear, how am I going to pay the mortgage, what am I going to do about this, get all these worries. In the midst of all that, you say, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. I've had folk tell me, well, I'm just being real. All right. I hear you being real, but I'm trying to show you in the Word how to practice and live by faith. And you got four verses of Scripture, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38, that all say the just shall live by faith. You can choose to live by fear, or you can choose to live by faith. It's a decision. And I'm here to tell you that there'll be life in your mind and in your body and in your spirit and in your finances and in your relationship. There will be life if you ever make a decision to live by faith. It does not mean you don't deny reality. It doesn't mean that you're not real. It just means you don't embrace every negative and fearful thought that comes into your head, because that's not the way God's called us to live. Amen. And the beauty of it is Jesus is teaching us how to do it. And I wish I had known this earlier in life, because, man, this could have saved me a lot of trouble had I known that the Lord allowed my mind to be the threshold of my life, and that my mind was that place that something could enter that nobody knew it was there if I didn't confess it. The mind was the place of whether or not, do I accept this person or do I reject them? Went down to the courthouse the other day, and the gentleman was there, and he said, hey, Pastor James, man, you blessed me, and got to talking, and I went to go through the metal technology, and he's like, I said, where I put my stuff? He said, oh, Pastor, you good. I put my stuff there and went on through the thing, and then I grabbed my stuff, and we got to fellowship, and I was talking, and it was all good, and man, I don't know what made me think this, but I was like, wow, what if we would treat our thoughts like metal detectors? You know, like, we have a thought, but it has to go through a process before it just shows up in our life. Because, man, we would come home and say, wait a minute, let me go through this detector before I walk in the living room, before I walk in the kitchen. That's got to go. Let me enter in my pocket. That got to go. I'm going to try it again. Walk. I go back through. Man, I got to take my belt off. Man, what is it? And, man, you just get all that mess out. And then when you finally walk in the kitchen, hey, baby, hey, love, how was your day? Bless, how was your missing you? Hey. Because you went through that detector of the mind. You didn't say what came to mind. You didn't walk in and say, "What are we eating?" And she didn't walk. You didn't walk in and she said, "You left your socks in the living room again." See that? Don't worry. You thought it, but you didn't need to say it. Because he might have left his socks in the living room, but you've left a lot of other mess in other places. And I don't know what he did something too. Amen. Oh, I balanced that thing out. All right. My point is we think these things, but if we had some kind of check system, like they have going in the courthouse, we might say, wait, let me catch this right here, and let me get this out right here before I step into this situation. And that's what the mind is called to do. But the problem is when there's no discipline and no restraint on the mind, it comes into our mind, and we feel big, bad, and bold that we just say it. Baby, we're not going to make it. Do what? We're not going to make it. I told you we wasn't going to make it. I don't know how you can't see it. We're not going to make it. What makes you say that? Because I know. What do you know? I know we're not going to make it. See, we need to end all that. Thank you, brother. All right, let me wrap this up. Romans 10, you there say amen. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. The word of God. Everybody don't want the word of God. And even folk that know they need the word don't want the word. Why? The word demands a response. I'm here to tell you that Isaiah 55:11 says his word will not return unto him void. There's some folk that will get out of positioning themselves underneath his word because they don't want to change. You cannot get in this word. I'm not talking about religion and church. I'm not saying I'm not religious or churchy. I'm just saying, just because you're religious or in church doesn't mean you're in the word of God. And some folk don't want the word of God because the word of God by the Spirit of God will keep reminding you even when you left church and your religion. It'll remind you of something you heard on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday morning and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday, all that stuff that, can't take it. I ain't going back to church. Because the word demands a response. So he's saying the word is nigh thee. The word is near you. Here we go. Even in thy what? Mouth and in thy what? Heart. See there, mouth and heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come on, somebody. See, it's my heart that believes, and then it's my mouth that makes the confession, and that's when my salvation shows up. When does my salvation show up? When my heart believes and my mouth confesses. Now, the question is what do you believe and what are you confessing? What do you believe and what are you confessing? Because what you believe and what you confess becomes your reality. And I'll briefly explain that. And if you would, write this down in your notes. Decision opens the door to reality. If you've ever been in limbo and couldn't make a decision, even if it was something so simple like where to eat, somebody needs to open up a restaurant called Anywhere. Because when you say, "Hey, babe, what you want to eat?" "Oh, Anywhere." That's where there needs to be a restaurant called Anywhere. Or I don't care. That'd be a cool restaurant. I don't care. You've been down there, I don't care, man. That thing, shoot. But when you can't make a decision, you can't go left or right, north or south, east or west. You're stuck. Decision opens the door to reality. A decision opens the door to reality. Why? Because God has designed us to begin to mentally and physically prepare for what we expect, and God has designed us to expect what we chose. Which means once I make a decision, I establish my expectation. And you cannot establish expectation and it not affect preparation. Now, I'll give you an example of that. If you're sitting at the restaurant, and the waiter or waitress stops by and says, yes, what would you like to drink? And you know, you're sitting next to me, I say, well, I'll take water. And they ask you, and they say, what would you like to drink? And you say, you know what? I would like a sweet tea. Decision made. And so the waitress comes to the table, and she gives, so here's your water, here's your sweet tea. But she mistakenly brought Dr. Pepper. But you already made a decision for sweet tea. You like Dr. Pepper, but that's not your choice today. You chose sweet tea. If you have ever had this happen, you know it's real. When you grab the glass, if you have made a decision for sweet tea and you think it is sweet tea, when you go to take the sip and you realize it's not sweet tea, you cringe. Like, what is this? Why? Because your mind has already established, based on the decision, you are preparing for something. You are expecting something. And when you don't get what you expect, it's not that you don't like Dr. Pepper. It's that I was expecting sweet tea. And the problem with so many of our lives is we've allowed fear and worry to plague and overtake us to the point that we expect bad things to happen. We expect to lose the job. We expect to get a bad medical report. We expect not to be able to pay the bills. Why? Because that's what we've been meditating and confessing, and we have subliminally set ourselves up for failure. And those are strongholds. And the only answer to that is faith. To take the same principles that I've been applying to my fear life and say, wait a minute, I'm reversing this over to my faith life. For with the heart, man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made. And ultimately, your confession is your decision. Think about it like that. What I confess is my choice. What I confess is, I'm not talking about denying reality. I'm not talking about you break your arm and it's in a cast and somebody says, how you doing, healed? Well, I get that, but what'd you do to your arm? Oh, it's healed. I know it's healed, but it's in a cast right now. Can we be real? I fell off a swing. Okay. We don't need hyper faith. Well, I'm calling a thing that be not as though it were. I hear you. Praise the Lord. Aren't you just amazing? We can't talk because you're somewhere else in your faith life. It's okay that you broke your arm. That does not mean you don't have faith. We don't have to deny what's real. Okay. I'm talking about fears and worries that are not real, that we make real. They're real only in our minds, but they're not real in life. We're saying something about tomorrow, and we don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold. We've already written off next week, and we don't even know what God might do next week. That's what I'm talking about. This is where I got to say, no, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that I'm worried about. I will see him add to my life. Hallelujah. Take a neighbor, he's already worked out what you're trying to figure out. Let me pray for you, amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray by the ministry of your Holy Spirit that we would not just be hearers, but that we would be doers of your word. Hearers and doers of your word. With every head bowed, all eyes closed, just for a moment. What worry's been plaguing you? What fear's just been like a gnat at a picnic, just won't leave you alone? What has you up at night? Here's my challenge. Get in God's word. Find you some scriptures that provide the promise to your problem. Scriptures that state the promise to your problem. Write them down. Read them over. Memorize them. Confess them. And then that's what you speak. And every time that fear comes, every time that worry comes, you're going to speak God's promise. I'm not denying that this worry is real, or even that it's worthy of thought. I'm not denying what's real. I'm just not going to let this thing take over my mind and my life. There are plenty of people in the Bible that had real situations. But they spoke the promise of God. They spoke the word of God. And not only did God show up and manifest his word, he brought peace in the process. Peace in the process. And that's what faith can do. Don't let anybody speak the word of God over you and then you say, yeah, but. No, we're not doing that. Many years ago, I found scriptures that I stood on in faith for this ministry and for the future of this ministry. I had so many people that love me. They say, you are not in touch with reality. That is not real. That will never happen. And the process was long, but his word will give you peace, and his word will keep your mind until he brings that word to pass. It took a long time for Joseph's word to come. God gave Joseph a word, and it looked like his life was going to be filled with everything but what God said. But God kept him in perfect peace until that word came. Peace in the process. You got something dreadful coming up next week, and people ought to see your demeanor and say, what? Did that get canceled? Like, oh, no, it's coming next Tuesday. Oh, man, I couldn't even tell you by the way you've been talking. Like, man, I don't know what's going to come between now and next Tuesday. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you right now that you perfect what concerns us, that you will perfect what concerns us. We ask for that right now in the name of Jesus, that you would just take what has us worried and concerned and perfect that very thing. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to keep my mind. I surrender every thought of fear and negativity, every thought of worry and anxiety, I release right now. Keep my mind. Give me peace in the process. Your word says, whoever offers praise brings you glory. And that he who orders his conversation right will see your salvation. Keep me in remembrance of this. From this moment forward, that my mind and my mouth would be in line with the hope of your word. I believe that Jesus died for me, that I could live my life for you in such a way that you would be glorified. So I make a decision tonight to seek first your kingdom and believe by faith that all the things that I worry about, will be added. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.